What's up, everybody? Good morning. Good morning. I got to tell you, folks, I had a rough day yesterday. Woo! Rough day. My cat has been missing for 2 days. 2 days. And I thought, you know, this cat's not coming back. Stryker's not coming back. He's gone. He's always been scared to go outside. He's petrified. He has PTSD. This cat, I don't know if you've ever seen a cat with PTSD, but I have a cat with PTSD. Anyway, he must have ran outside when I was feeding the little dog and just never saw him again. Yesterday, we decided to call the cat's name outside, and all of a sudden we hear a meow, meow, like a yelling. I look at my outside fireplace that has a hole in it that only, I guess, a cat could fit in there, but I mean, my arm could barely fit in there. It's how you turn on the fireplace, but down below, it drops about 3 feet. You see his little paw reaching up, waving at us. And then I go and look, and there he is down there in the crevice inside the fireplace all the way down. He's been down there for 2 days looking up at me, and I couldn't get him up because there's nails on the inside of it. At least I thought I wasn't going to be able to get him up. I reached my arm down there, pinched the back of his neck. It took me about 20 minutes. Finally, I got a good grip. He finally let me grip him, and I raised him out of there, folks. I raised him out. So now he has 7 lives left. So that's 9. I saved him in the street with traffic going over him, and now that's another one. He would have died in there. There's no way he would have got out of there. So now cats do have 9 lives. Now he has 7. So Stryker's down to 7 lives. Saved his little ass again. Gotta tell you, man. I gotta tell you, man. It was I was so sad. I was like, man, I lost my dog. My dad's in the hospital. Now my cat's gone. I just, so much shit was hitting me in my mind. I'm like, how much more of this shit can I take? It's like, wow. So that was a boost. That was a morale boost. So, man, can't ever give up. I was about to give up on him. I also talked to Steve from How to Hunt. I'm premiering that video tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Folks, he showed me irrefutable evidence of Bigfoot, okay? He showed it to me on camera. You can't put stuff like this out on FluffTube, unfortunately. Plus, he can't betray the trust of the person that gave him the evidence. So, showed me the evidence, showed me everything on it. I've never seen anything like it in my life. It was insanity. I've always known that this animal exists, or this being, or this person, whatever you want to call it. Is it a Nephilim? What is it? I don't know. But what he showed me on his phone through the camera, irrefutable evidence. And it's just a matter of now what? Now what? Now what? How are they so elusive? How are they able to be? What spectrum of light do they live in? Do they live in another dimension? How are they protected? How smart are they? What kind of technologies do they have? I have a lot of questions. This thing moves like a panther, and it's huge. It's gigantic. I got to tell you, folks, I'm learning a lot in this podcasting business. I'll tell you that right now. Venmo, D-Rod1977, D-Rod1977. When the lights go out on Amazon, Leave an honest review. My mama's book, The Mexican Mix. Please leave an honest review on there. I read them to her. Believe it or not, she loves to hear them all. Spotify is Nino's Corner. Telegram, Nino's Corner. Getter, Nino's Corner. Rumble, Nino's Corner. Truth Social, David Rodriguez Boxer. Instagram, David Nino Rodriguez Boxer. Or Nino's Truth. X, Nino Boxer. Patriotwear.com, being right there. And folks, get your noble gold. You got to get gold. We're coming into it, folks. I talk to people, okay? I talk to a lot of people. That's what I do now. That's my new job. This shit's coming, whether you like it or not. And no, it's not going to be like the Eclipse. That was a big nothing burger. This is coming. This, I can guarantee you, is coming. I have my theories on what that whole eclipse was about. It's a marker, but nothing happened. But things will happen. Believe me, things are going to happen, and you're going to need gold and silver. Has investing got you stressed, folks? Too complicated? Don't leave your money in the bank losing value. Get it working for you. Invest in precious metals with Noble Gold Investments. It's simple, it's real, and always there for you. Real throughout history's toughest times, like now. Talk to a Noble Gold's expert, an American expert that can speak English. You don't have to get on the phone with jiggling ding dong 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 dong. If you're after an IRA and you qualify, you'll even get a free quarter ounce gold standard coin. Keep it simple. You can't go wrong with precious metals. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. Noble Gold Investments. Hit the link below, folks. Get started. Believe me, I'm already started. I'm buying gold and silver right now. All right, folks. Nino's Corner.tv fire. A lot of you, some of you unsubscribe and try to come back. I welcome you back, but I just don't understand why you do that. We're kind of paying attention who's unsubscribing, who's coming back. It's weird. I don't know why you just don't stay on. It's everything war on the going to need to know. So powerful guests coming up. Mike King is the next general's tent. He's talking about the 60,000 man army, the secret army. We're going to be talking about documents. Very, very knowledgeable guy. Very, very knowledgeable guy. That's going to be on Nino's Corner, General's Tent. That is April 25th, 5 p.m. Everyone get in there, ask your questions, have your questions ready. Remember, 1 to 2 questions max. Keep them fast. Keep it rolling. I got SGN on part 1 and 2 coming on. I got part 1 right now. Part 2 is coming on where we show part 2. If you get anything out of Nino's Corner.tv, this is a big one, where we show the documents, redacted, a lot of it's redacted, but we read between the lines, of military notices of a constitutional republic. It's pretty crazy. If these are real, this is big, really big, that things are happening. Put it together. You put the pieces together with the 60,000-man army, secret, and this. Makes a lot of sense. Sometimes it takes a couple interviews for things to start making sense, but they fit together like pieces of a puzzle. So Nino's Corner.tv, go binge watch if you need to. I end up paying for it. It's called usage fees. Denise Aguilar coming on, freedom fighter. I already talked to her. She was a gangbanger, okay? Turned conservative, now married with children. Freedom fighter. And this woman has an incredible story. And I like people like this. I like people that have been through this shit storm and come out of it. To me, I don't know. Suffering knows many tongues. And I think Denise Aguilar is a true warrior and a fighter. You guys have to listen to her. It's amazing. Jason Shirk is coming on. Juan O. Saban's coming on talking about the slow, what they want, which is a slow implosion of America. By death of 1,000 razor blades. And then. Boom! Pull the plug. So maybe destroying our infrastructure first and then pulling the plug at the end. So I don't know. We might see more bridges, dams. I don't know. Seems like that's what's happening right now. I have Ismael Perez. I just did the interview with him. And let me tell you, folks, he puts a lot of the pieces of the puzzle together as well. All roads lead to Rome, right? You thought the Roman Empire was done. It was kaput. Nah, it's not. It's called the Vatican. The Vatican runs everything. All roads lead to the Vatican, which is Rome. So Rome essentially is still in power, folks. Did you know that? Because I didn't. I knew about the Vatican, but did you know the strongest entity in the world? They're running everything. Worth listening to. Ismael Perez, and we go into so much more deeper stuff. So put your tinfoil hats on, folks. All right, folks. You might want to turn it down or turn it up, baby. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right, let's do this. Can you believe I found my cat? I still can't believe I found my cat. I'm so happy. Like, I can't believe I love you. 7 lives left, buddy. 7 lives. That's all you got. All right, folks. Coming at you live from the apocalypse, folks. Yeah, baby. All right. Let's go. I got to tell you, that Steve How to Hunt video that we just did, it's funny. We went off track a few times laughing about some shit. I had to clean it up. I had to edit it. We're talking about gerbils that go in the rear. Okay. We talked about that a little bit. So I had to take out some of the lingo and the language in there. Because you can't offend anybody, folks. You can't offend people anymore. People get hurt. Thanks for the super chat, Nancy. Folks, anybody giving the super chat, thank you. Wow, they fog up quick. So Joe Rogan comes out and says he doesn't believe Biden will be around in May. Who's been saying this for the last 2 years on ninoscorner.tv? I mean, it's kind of crazy, right? I say the conspiracies that are about 6 months ahead of the mainstream starts talking about them 6 months later. We're about 2 years ahead on ninoscorner.tv. 2 full years. But I disagree with Joe Rogan in the sense that I don't think Biden's going to move around. I don't see May. Could be anytime, but I don't see May. I think he has to go to convention. But he's going to try to remain elusive as possible. He does not want to debate Trump. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's a lose-lose. There's no way out of this for him. So Trump is challenging Biden to a debate and saying, let's go mano a mano. Let's go. I don't even think Biden could last at this point, 40 minutes, 30 minutes max with Trump. Get eaten alive. So what is he going to do? What is he going to do? Is he going to just try to remain elusive and avoid it? Is he going to say, I'm too good for this? He's a maniac. No need. I don't have any need to debate a maniac. That's what he's going to pretend, or he's going to try to take the higher ground, which is not going to work either. So both are losing choices. If he decides to debate him, he loses. If he doesn't debate him, he loses. So what's he going to do? Insert Newsom here. Maybe The Rock. I don't know. That seems like that'd be a pretty good combo, Newsom and Rock. I don't know. Well, I love how people don't watch my show and they decide to call me during a podcast. So the Democrats now know the threat is real and must fall back to plan B, C, and D. They're not sleeping at night. I've been told this millions of times. They're not sleeping. They can't sleep. They're panicked out of their mind. They don't know what to do because to them, folks, all their fates are hanging on a balance. This is it. This is like, it's all in. It's everybody's all in right now. Everybody is all in, and it's move and counter move. So now Biden knows it's not good enough to just campaign from his basement anymore. He's actually out there trying to raise money because they're not going to be able to do again what they did in 2020, from my understanding. It's going to be a lot harder. A lot of people are watching. He must now build a massive campaign, and he's getting donations in the ass loads because a lot of these people are scared. So now he's going to propel more myths and rumors about Mr. T being tied to Russia. Anything, absolutely anything to stop Mr. T, right? We know this. Here's the one problem they must confront. The debate challenge. So Trump is basically saying, hey, man, after school, let's go. Let's get it on in front of the whole class. You and me, mano a mano, after school, meet you at 4 p.m. in the parking lot. Let's go. And Biden's going, puckering up. Oh, I don't want to fight him. I'm too good for him. I'll beat him up. It's senseless. There's no point in it. There's no point in fighting this guy. I'll kick his ass. Then do it. Prove it. Let's go. See you outside. And then he doesn't show up. But maybe he says, ooh, I'm sick. I don't feel good. And goes and gets his bigger buddy. That'll lose anyway. See what I'm saying here? He goes against Newsom. Hey, Newsom, will you fight this fight for me? I can't do it. Well, let me get The Rock. I don't know. Just saying. I'm just, this is what it looks like to me. He's challenging me to a debate. What do? I can't win it. I'm going to try to sidestep this as many times as possible. Try to get us to August, go to the convention, and then step away and say, I'm too good for this, but I know I'm too old. I'm going to pass the torch to someone like Newsom, or I don't know, maybe The Rock will come in here. Folks, this is how I see this playing out. I'm sure a lot of you do too. He's now pushed into this corner. It's a corner. He's going to claim Trump is a liar and he's tied to Russia. Therefore, he's not worth his time. He's not worth his time. It's a lose-lose situation. He loses if he debates him, and he loses if he hides from it. So this is going to be so interesting to see how this guy behaves, because we all know. We're all watching him with a microscope. We're watching him. Thank you, Neil. Welcome to the positive timeline. Yeah, I believe we did it. I think, if you believe in that, nothing happened, right? Nothing happened. So TV networks urge Biden and Trump to debate. So five big TV networks want this. They're like, let's do it. Let's go. It'll be huge. Everyone knows this will be the most watched spectacle on television. In an unusual move, the five major broadcast and cable news networks have prepared a joint open letter that urges President Biden and former President Donald J. Trump to participate in a televised debate ahead of Election Day, according to two people with direct knowledge of their plans. So now you got all these television networks getting behind it and saying, yep, we want it. Let's go. Let's do this. We want the ratings. The letter, endorsed by ABC, CBS, CNN, NBC, and Fox News, thrusts into the public view a question that has swirled within the media and political circles, whether the presidential debates, one of the nation's last remaining masked civic rituals in a polarized age, will occur this year at all. I think Kennedy should get in on this too. I think there should be three. And you know how that's going to go. They're both probably going to tag team against Biden. But I mean, obviously we all want to see Biden, Trump. I don't know. I think I'd much rather just see Trump and Biden than Trump, RFK, and Biden. I think that could take away from it. What's your all's thoughts on that? So the undersigned national news organization, urge the presumptive presidential nominees to publicly commit to participating in general election debates before November's election, the letter reads. This is Biden's worst nightmare. This is it right here. According to a draft version obtained by the New York Times, the letter is not yet final, and the networks are also seeking endorsements from other leading national news organizations, including newspapers. Right? That'd be like, we want to see the fight after school, and everyone's like signing on to it. Everyone's getting out there with their cars, forming a big circle in the parking lot. And you're what? You're just going to hide away in the locker room? I don't know. Shit. It's on. You got to do it now. You got to do it. As this is happening, Biden is building a behemoth of a campaign. And this is the term they use, behemoth. Trump at this point seems to be playing catch up. I don't think so. Biden is flush with cash and opening campaign offices across the country, but he has struggled to overcome Trump and his more meager campaign in polls. President Joe Biden has been scooping up record-breaking donations and plowing the money into an expanding campaign operation in battleground states that appears to surpass what Mr. T has built thus far. Flush with $71 million cash at the end of February, more than twice that of Trump's campaign, Biden parlayed his fundraising advantage into a hiring spree of that now boasts 300 paid staffers across 9 states and 100 offices in parts of the country that will decide the 2024 election, according to details provided by the campaign. So Trump's advisors would not disclose staffing levels, but his ground game still seems to be at an adolescent stage. His campaign hired state directors into Pennsylvania and Michigan last week. People familiar with the recruitment process said, combined, the Trump campaign and Republican National Committee have fewer than five staff members in each of the battleground states. But you know my thoughts on this. You know my thoughts. I don't think we get there. I got some steak dinners on the line with this. So it says here, Donald Trump, Mr. T set to green light Putin's destruction of ex-CIA chief claims. So former CIA director John Brennan, says he is worried about a possible second Donald Trump presidency and fears it could spell disaster for Europe. A second Mr. T presidency poses a risk to Ukraine in their fight against Russia, according to a former director of this. Isn't it crazy how they keep doubling down, tripling down, quadrupling down, and whatever comes after that on this fucking lie? And it just, all that's doing for people like us is exposing them more and more and more. That's all it's doing. Prominent GOP members have called for a reassessment of funding in Ukraine, as Washington has already supplied around $75 billion. And the former spy chief told France RTBF that he fears Trump could cut funding altogether. You think he's just going to cut funding? That's where all your tax dollars are going. And to open borders. Zelensky warns Russia has penetrated U.S. politics. Get this. Invites Trump to Ukraine. Oh, yeah, he's really going to take you up on your offer. President Vladimir Zelensky of Ukraine warned in an interview that Russian influence has pierced the American political system and rejected the idea, backed by allies of Donald Trump, that Ukraine could swiftly end the war just by making massive territorial concessions. But Zelensky said Tuesday that he had privately urged Trump through intermediates to travel, and that Trump had expressed interest but have not yet committed to make the trip. Zelensky said he has opened to hearing Trump's proposals for the war, while making clear he was highly skeptical. Big Mike ready to jump in? Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I don't think so, though. I think Tucker's got him cornered on that. I think the next big drop from Tucker will be about Big Mike. I think that's what it's going to be. I think that was just a prelude to what's coming on Big Mike. Talking about Mr. O's past affairs. I think the only thing that's coming next is Big Mike. Big Mike. Oh, man. Trump suing New York judge. Just 1 week before hush money trial, former President Donald Trump is moving to sue Jorge. I saw the word Jorge. Judge Juan Merchan, the New York judge presiding over his hush money trial. Multiple news outlets reported in the latest effort to delay his first ever criminal trial, set to begin in just 1 week. Trump's lawsuit was not immediately released, but court records indicate he plans to file an appeal against Merchan on Monday. His lawyers plan to file a suit to the New York Court of Appeals asking for a delay and challenging the gag order Merchan placed him under after repeat attacks on the judge and his daughter. Two sources told the New York Times. The second order asked to move the trial out of Manhattan, where the jury would likely have more registered Democrats, sources told Associated Press. Trump previously called for Merchan, to recuse himself on Friday, arguing that his daughter, Lauren Merchan, job at Authentic Campaigns, Inc., a company that runs ads for Democratic Party candidates, creates a conflict of interest. Yes, it does. He's being so defiant, folks. It makes you wonder, right? It makes you really wonder. How is he so defiant? Why is he so defiant? How is he so confident? I think we all know why. I think my audience knows why. text message from Fannie Willis, motherfucker. Fannie Willis shows investigator hitting on the witness. So there's a text that shows investigator hitting on a witness. So text message shown in court revealed that an investigator with Fulton County's district attorney Fannie Willis office hit on a witness while working on a case. As the YSL, Young Slime Life, RICO trial against rapper Young Thug, whose legal name is Jeffrey Williams, and several co-defendants continued on Monday, new details emerged about the conduct of investigator for Willis's office. While questioning a female witness identified as A. Bennett on the stand, an attorney for Williams asked about messages that the witness received from a county investigator named Hamilton. Among the text messages is one from Hamilton that read, "Hit me up if you're bored later." "Hit me up if you're bored later. We're not going to talk shop." Asked what it was the investigator wanted to talk to her about, Bennett told attorney Keith Adams that Hamilton wanted to discuss going on a date with her. And this in February 7th of 2024 this year, when the investigator for the DA's office is supposed to be talking to you about a case, but in fact is calling you, talking about going on a date. Is this true? Adam asked the witness. Oh, man. It seems like it's just a bing over there. That's what I see. Everyone's getting with everyone. It's like, come on. Oh, man. Everyone's hitting on everyone. Fannie Willis. Who's she sleeping with? Wade. Is it Wade? What's the guy's name? Who's Fannie Willis? Who's Fannie Willis getting with? Who's she getting with? Who's she bumping uglies with? Fannie Willis and who? Who's the guy? Wade. There it is. Yeah. Wade Willis. Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, you like that, baby? Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. Get it. Hit it from the back. Hit it from the back. Hit it from the back. Oh, God. DeSantis. Who called out DeSantis first? And now he's having to play ball. Oh, man. I got to tell you, folks, it's kind of fun being so far ahead of the game. It's so easy to see. It's so easy to see all this. I don't know how anyone doesn't see this. So DeSantis says Florida is now a Republican state. I thought it always was a Republican state. I guess it was a swing state. Anyway, Governor Ron DeSantis declared Florida is a Republican state Sunday, emphasizing the prevailing dominance of conservative values with its borders. In an interview on Fox Sunday Morning Futures, the host, Maria Bartiromo, DeSantis said the state is close to having 900,000 more registered Republicans than Democrats. Florida is off the board. It is a Republican state. You've covered politics. We used to be one-point state. Every election hung on how would Florida go. That is not true anymore, and I think it's a good thing for the party, DeSantis told Bartiromo. DeSantis attributed the shift in voter registration to individuals already living in the state, switching parties, and to newcomers to the state. I do think that migration has skewed amongst people who come to Florida, not because they want to change the policies to reflect in Illinois or California or New York, but because they appreciate how Florida has done it differently from where they're coming from, he said. What do y'all think? I think DeSantis is playing ball right now because he's hoping he's going to get picked for VP. You know he is. Now, the people that I've talked to say, no way, no chance in hell. None of the names that have been put in the hat, none of them are going to get picked, from what I understand. Now, I have my theories on who could be picked, and I think it's going to come really late. And I'm going to just hold back on announcing who I think is going to be picked for VP. I'm going to do a show on that later, but I have a few names that I think might be picked, and there are none of them that's out there right now. I think it's going to surprise everybody who Trump picks for VP. So, and yes, I can at least say I think Carrie Lake could be one of them. That'd be an obvious choice. Carrie Lake could be one of them. But there's two that are in the running, I think. And I've had some conversations about this. that are very possible. Very, very possible. But I don't want to say them just yet. Not Vivek. I'll say not Vivek. Arizona Supreme Court rules a near total on a 1818. Fuck, that says 18, not 19. 1864 is enforceable. The Arizona Supreme Court ruled Tuesday that a 160-year-old near total ban still on the books in the state is enforceable. A bombshell decision that adds to the state to the growing list of places care is effectively banned. The ruling allows an 1864 law in Arizona to stand that made felony punishable by 2 to 5 years in prison. 2 to 5 years in prison for anyone who performs one or helps a woman obtain one. The law, which was codified in 1901 and again in 1930, outlawed from the moment of conception, but includes an exception to save the woman's life. The Civil War era law, it's a Civil War era law. See, I think, I don't know about you folks. I mean, I'm against it. I'm obviously against it, but I think there's a lot of gray area. What if Uncle Charlie sneaks into the kid's room and she's like 13? What if that happens? What if Filthy McNasty comes over to babysit? You know? I mean, these are things you got to think about. Filthy McNasty. You guys like that? Yeah, I'd like to order a Filthy McNasty with some extra cheese and some of that secret sauce. Oh, boy. I'm just saying. I mean, I'm kind of, you got to look at it all. You got to look at it all. I'm just saying there's some weird shit that happens within families. And come on. I mean, I don't know. I'm just, this is such a touchy subject. Kerry Lake Bland once, that she once was thrilled about. Now, they try to twist things and reword things. So let's look at this. An Arizona Supreme Court ruled Tuesday to reinstate 160 ban, and Republicans who previously backed it, including Senate candidate Kerry Lake, immediately began flip-flopping. The court overturned a 2022 law that allowed 15 weeks, paving the way for an 1864 ban that prohibits the procedure in almost all cases except to save the life of the mother. The state's highest court first heard arguments on the case in December after the Arizona Court Appeals ruled that the two conflicting bans needed to be harmonized. They need to be harmonized. Janine the Queen, thank you. Should your to my husband Henry. I think you probably messed up on that one. Cindy Shipley, thank you. Thank you, David. Give me courage. And help me be brave. Please give what you can. David doesn't get a paycheck. Very true. But I'm the grifter. But if you're an OnlyFans, if you go to OnlyFans, do you know how many podcasters have their own .TVs and platforms on Patreon or Locals? But yet I get shit for it. My time and energy is worth nothing. I'll tell you why this happens. The trolls are people that just can't figure it out. They don't know how to they don't know how to get paid for their time and their energy. They just can't figure it out, and they hate you. This has become an all-day, 24/7, 7 days a week thing. You think anyone would hire me anywhere now that I've made my views public? And I express them the way I do with the balls that I have, that I put them on display, put my neck on the line. Do you think, honestly, anybody anywhere would be like, yeah, let's hire him. He's perfect for the job. No, I'm risking everything here. I'm taking a big chance at this. Jacqueline Cooper, thank you. Thank you. You're awesome. Yeah, yo, yo. But I'm just saying, I'm taking a huge chance at this. It's a risk, but that's what I do. I've risked all my life. New axis of power, Russia and China forge united front. Moscow and Beijing have formed a new security alliance against NATO and unilateral sanctions, emphasizing opposition and power politics. So China's FM, Wang Yi, his name is Wang Yi. Wang Yi. Everybody Wang Chung tonight. China and Russia should oppose hegemonism and power politics, oppose the monopoly of international affairs by a few countries. Russia's FM, Sergey Lavrov. For a long time, there's been Euro-Atlantic security structure in the form of NATO, as well as the OSCE. But these were not structures within which it was possible to conduct meaningful negotiations and agree on something based on a balance of interest. So Russia has opened a probe into financing terrorism implicating Western countries, saying funding, like who's really funding, you know where, that country in the Eastern Europe. Israeli citizen arrested for online plot Netanyahu. Israeli authorities have taken swift action against a central Israeli resident suspected of engaging in online incitement targeting Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Jesse Warren, thank you. You sent me an important email concerning military activity in your town in California. Okay, I'll check it out. I'll look at that. The individual in question was apprehended for allegedly disseminating content on the messaging platform. So now they're scaring the hell out of anybody. You can't post anything you want to post. Fuck free speech. Can't say anything. Can't say it. They're going to come knocking down your door. This is scary that we're living in these times again, isn't it, folks? We're here once again. What we thought was ancient history, never going to repeat itself. History always repeats itself. And this time, it's them doing it. Don't you love the irony in that? So newly classified documents reveal a macabre minute-by-minute detail what the end of the world would look like and why those vaporized instantly by an atomic bomb would be the lucky ones. So if the atomic bomb goes off and you get vaporized, you're lucky compared to what's going to happen afterwards, the aftermath.
Jeez.
The story of what the moments after a nuclear missile launch could look like is based on facts sourced from exclusive, thank you very much, I am chosen. Based on facts sourced by exclusive interviews with presidential advisors, cabinet members, nuclear weapons engineers, scientists, soldiers, airmen, special operators, Secret Service emergency management experts, intelligence analysts, civil servants, and others who have worked on these macabre scenarios over decades. As the plans for general nuclear war are among the most classified secrets held by the U.S. government, the scenario postulated here takes the reader up to a razor's edge of what can legally be known as declassified documents with details of terrifying clarity. Because the Pentagon is a top target for a strike by America's nuclear-armed enemies, in the scenario that follows, Washington, D.C. gets hit first with a 1 megaton thermonuclear bomb. A bolt out of the blue attack against D.C. is what anyone in D.C. fears most, says Andrew Weber, former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Nuclear, Chemical, and Biological Defense Programs. Bolt out of the blue is how the U.S. Nuclear Command and Control refers to an unwarned large nuclear attack. Thank you, Susan Shaz. Pronounce Sushot Gods. Sushot Gods. Blessing to you and your family, David. Thank you, Susan. Sushot. Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Hey, folks, if you appreciate me, I appreciate you. I'm like the stripper. I'm coming up to you right now with my thong, and I'm opening it up and saying, you want to put a dollar? Touch it, David. Just touch it. It's okay. It will not bite you, David. I promise. It looks like it will bite you, but it won't bite you. It does not have teeth. But it has no teeth, David. Go ahead, touch it. Touch it, David. Gross. I know. It is gross. You know what happened one time? Like I said, you guys want to hear a strip story? A pole dancer story? You guys want to hear it? You guys want to hear it? Christian Joko. Thank you. So in El Paso, they've got some real raunchy strip clubs. And we went to one, me and my buddy Art, went to this one, I don't know, on the east side of El Paso back in the day. I think it was called Naked Harem. And there used to be a girl named Roxanne. Give a hand for Roxanne. And she would smoke a cigarette and then put it down there on her vagina. And it would puff in the cigarette and then blow out smoke. Okay? This is real. This is what really this really used to happen. And that wasn't just the end of it. And the next lady that came up was a pregnant fat lady, a fat pregnant lady. And she was dancing in her high heel glass high. Why is it always glass high heels? That's all I remember. Anyway, she was lactating. And I saw her like squirt it in a guy's mouth on the other side of the stage. And I told my friend, I go, oh, dude, check this out. Walk up to her and just do this. Go, ah, like that. And then she'll do a funny dance. It's hilarious. I've seen this girl do it before. He's like, really, bro? I'm like, yeah, yeah. But you got to go, ah, like that. And you got to just stand there and do that. He's like, for like how long? I'm like, just like 10 seconds. Just do that. And she does this weird twist and she jiggles. It's funny. It's really funny. And he's like, really? I'm like, yeah. He's like, all right, let's go up there. I'm like, all right, let's go up there. And he goes, ah, and he's doing that. I'm like, ah, dude, she missed him the first time. Like, she didn't see him. And I go, do it again, do it again. So I turn her around. And I go, hey, look, my buddy. And I point to him. And he goes, ah, and she goes, squirt. Right in the mouth, right in the mouth. And I'll never forget that. Oh, got over all over his face, his tongue. It was disgusting. Ah, man, but I tell you what, memories like that are the best. That's fucking crazy, I know. But, anyway, a nuclear bomb, you'll be lucky if you're vaporized, and if you don't, and you live through the turmoil, you'll be scavenging for newspapers and turds in the dumpster, and then you die. You'll starve and die, basically, is what they're saying here. Let's get to some border news. In border news, in border news, in border news, Abbott sends Biden message on sovereign authority as Texas National Guard reinforces border razor fencing. Now, I don't know if you've seen this on my channel here, but I went down and I showed you what the wire really looks like. Folks, it's a joke. So this whole thing with Abbott, I look at him for what he is. I'm here on the border and I see the razor wire. Folks, you can cut it, first of all. It takes no problem. It's one little strand of wire. It's a joke. You can throw a carpet over it, a towel over it, climb over it. It bounces. It's not even sturdy. What else? You can go under it. You can literally lift it up and go under it. It's a joke. So don't let this razor wire fool you and get you to thinking like, wow, Abbott's really doing something. He's not doing dick. He's doing nothing. And let me tell you, folks, there's Venezuelans on every street corner here begging. I don't see any cops arresting them. So this whole, it's all antics. It's all just funny little circus antics to make it look like he's really doing something about the problem. He's really making a difference. No, he's not. He's not doing shit. I'm here on the border and I'm telling you, he's not doing dick. You ain't doing shit. You're doing nothing. You're doing nothing, but you make everyone cheer for you. Hip, hip, hooray. Go Abbott. Go Abbott. Rhino, you're a rhino. We know who you are. All of us here know what exactly this is. You ain't doing shit. You could do something, though. You could do something. Now, I don't know if you're being told to back off or what. I don't know. To let the problem get worse. I don't know. But you're not doing anything. Nothing. And where is all the Texas Guard? They're in little parts of here and there at little parks. They're not doing anything. They're doing nothing. Nothing. Da, how do you like the real news? Greg Abbott on Monday highlighted how Texas is reinforcing barriers in key border crossing areas, pledged to exercise its sovereign authority. Sure. Hold on, Abbott. I got something for you. Pop! Amid the ongoing months-long legal fight with the Biden administration over reinforcement, let's just bust them everywhere else. If you go to the El Paso airport, yeah, let me tell you, they're really scared. They're really scared. If you go to the El Paso airport, they're all there with their plastic bags, their toothbrushes, their sandals. And it looks like they're all getting the same sandals, like they're being issued sandals. And they're so what's going on, Abbott? What's the deal? What's going on, Abbott? Because they're here at the airport. Anybody can come to the El Paso airport and watch them just fly out. They don't even go through the TSA line. I have to get groped. I have to get searched. I have to get patted down, but they don't. No. They don't have to show anything. They're just going on a separate line to whatever fucking airline they want, and they're flying out. That's it. I'm telling you the truth here, folks. I'm seeing it every day. Abbott posted an image of the Texas National Guard personnel reinforcing border barriers. Oh, yeah. Including razor wire in El Paso. I'll go there again and show you that nothing's happening. I'll show you the razor wire. I'll show you how easy it is to throw a towel over it and walk over it and then walk back. It's a joke. I mean, I can't stand that people everywhere else in America is reading this going, wow, Texas sure does have their shit together. They're saying no. They're saying no, not in my backyard. Yeah, right. So did you guys hear about this? Apparently, parents of Michigan school shooter Ethan Crumbly both sentenced to 10 to 15 years for involuntary manslaughter. So my question is this. So you're going to get punished now for what your kids do. So why don't parents just go to jail for any time a kid steals a candy bar or gets in a fight at school or anything your kids do? Now you got to go to jail for it. Is that how it works? James and Jennifer Crumbly were both convicted of involuntary manslaughter in their son Ethan's deadly shooting at Oxford High School in 2021. The first parents to ever be charged, then convicted in their child's mass shooting at a U.S. school, were both sentenced Tuesday to 10 to 15 years in prison after facing the victims during a sentencing hearing in Michigan courtroom. James Crumbly, 47, and wife Jennifer, 46. Were sentenced to one after another by Circuit Court Judge Cheryl Matthews as they appeared together for the first time since they attended joint hearings before their landmark trials were separated last fall. Their son, Ethan, now 17, pleaded guilty as an adult. So he pleaded guilty as an adult. So what do his parents have to do with any of this if he pleads guilty as an adult? To the 2021 shooting of Oxford High School in suburban Detroit and was sentenced to life in prison. Matthew's sentencing decision was in line with what Oakland County prosecutors had asked for after both parents were found guilty on four counts of involuntary manslaughter, one for each of the students their son killed. Matthews told the Crumblies that the convictions reached by jurors were not about poor parenting, but how they repeatedly ignored warning signs that a reasonable person would have seen. Really? Really? How do you test this theory? I don't get this. They refused warning signs. So they knew, like, oh, our kid might go shoot up a school. Man, this is crazy, man. These convictions confirm repeated acts that could have halted an oncoming runaway train, she said. The couple will get credit for time served in Oakland County jail since their arrest in the wake of the November 30th, 2021 shooting. The pair sat apart at the defense table with their lawyers beside them as the families of the four students who were killed at an earlier asked for the maximum sentence to be imposed. When you texted Ethan, don't do it. I was texting Madison, I love you. Please call mom. So the parents were obviously texting their son, don't do it. What are you doing? What are you doing? And now they're going to jail for that. What do you expect them to do? When you found out about the lives your son took that day, I was still waiting for my daughter in the parking lot. I'm not saying that's hard, but folks, this is dangerous. Do you not see what's happening here? I see what's happening here. Let's get to some what the fuck news, shall we? In what the fuck news, Mexican news station RCG Media accidentally shows testicles instead of a solar eclipse. My friends actually sent me this. Did you guys get the same one? Did any of you get it? I don't know. I got it. So it's like it shows like a light, and I knew it. I knew like right when I saw it, it shows like a ceiling light, and then it shows a pair of balls go eclipse over the ceiling light. Oh boy. Security guard endures agonized by snake horror death after cops tried and arrest him. Marius Jobert died an extremely painful and slow death over 12 agonizing hours after having his snakes bite him, knowing there was no antidote to heal him in South Africa. So this guy, you gotta get that edited out, but a man ended his life by having snakes bite him after authorities discovered he had illegally imported exotic animals, authorities said. Security guard Manius Jobert, 28, died agonizingly after being bitten by his own snakes following his arrest by police in South Africa. The unfortunate event occurred in Henneman, a town approximately 100 miles north of the city of Bloemfontein. Jobert had been under investigation for burglary and theft. Concerns arose when police planned to search his home, suspecting him of illegal activities involving exotic animals. Jobert, realizing the severity of the situation, reportedly opted for a drastic and rather than facing potential long-term imprisonment, he had his snakes bite him. During the police visit to the residence, officers were taken aback to discover over 60 snakes, along with other exotic creatures such as a crocodile, iguanas, monitors, tarantulas, hedgehogs, and ferrets. Unbeknownst to the officers, authorities later confirmed that Jobert intentionally subjected himself to the lethal venom of the snakes. Despite efforts to save him, including a rush trip to the hospital, the lack of appropriate anti-venom led to his death. So the offenses that he was going to be charged with would be much more serious than that of any snakes and animals he had put to him behind bars. So he was looking at 25 years in prison. He asked if he could feed his snakes. And once the handcuffs were off, he stuck his hands into the cages and he was bitten by the snakes in the wrist area and then was restrained. So he was like, so he said, you know what? All right, I'm in my handcuffs. Let me take the handcuffs off. Please let me feed my snakes just for a second. He sticks his hands in the cage. Sip, sip, sip. They bite his wrists and that's it. That's it. I don't know. May have been agonizing for 12 hours, but that's better than 25 years. That's how I look at it. So it shut down his lungs and suffocated him and almost caused severe bleeding and destroyed his bodily tissues. It's an extremely painful and horrific way to end your life. And it took about 9 hours for the bite to collapse and another 3 hours for the snake's venom to kill him. So it took about 9 hours for the organs to start shutting down, body to collapse, and then 3 hours after that, it killed him. Pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. All right, folks, I'm out of here. Go to ninoscorner.tv. I'm putting up the SGN on part two with the documents showing you, the notices. People have been put on notice. Shows me that something's happening behind the scenes. Now, it's up to you to believe if they're real or not. That's up for speculation. SG Anon is the one that sent me the docs. They're all redacted. Looks real to me, but I leave it for you all to decide. You all decide. Stop kicking me in the balls about my guests, okay? I am not a human piñata. All right, folks, I'm out of here. And the new heavyweight champion of podcasting. Ah! And the black sheep of broadcasting, baby. CJ Nino's Corner.tv. Later.